So that was a story of one small manufacturer in Seattle getting pushed out for something new. What does small manufacturing in Seattle look like in the face of all this change? Dave Gehring is the executive director of the Manufacturing Industrial Council of Seattle. He told Bill Radke the old FenPro site looks a lot like manufacturing in the rest of the city.
You have people in our city making things for fishing boats, for skyscrapers, for commercial jetliners. I'll bet you that FenPro building has got somebody involved in almost all of those activities.
How big is small manufacturing as a part of Seattle's economy?
Oh, God. In our city, there are still about 80,000 industrial jobs. That's as many jobs as are at the Boeing Company in the state of Washington. You just have this big, big industrial base that sometimes this city sort of loses sight of. The absolute heart of that, in addition to the big companies and kind of the pillars and anchors of it all, are these small businesses.
And what's been happening to the small businesses over time?
Oh, real combination. There are stories like Denny of companies being dislocated because of land use pressure or a need to find a different location. But there's a lot of them thriving, doing well, almost always doing better than the public probably thinks. And at the state level, manufacturing represents about 24% of all business revenues. That's up from about 21% 20 years ago.
What challenges do small manufacturers like Denny Jensen face in Seattle in 2015?
They face some issues that are no different than probably any small retailer or restaurant. The number of government regulations that you have to keep up with grows on an annual basis. I think it's harder and harder for small businesses to keep up with that.
We know property values have been rising. How big an issue is that for small manufacturers?
I think it's an issue absolutely everywhere in this city. Anybody landlording or anybody trying to find commercial property in Seattle knows that that can be very difficult, very expensive.
What is the city doing to support small-scale manufacturers?
Well, I think they could sure be doing more. To be honest with you, I do think there is always an effort underway. One of the great things that the community is doing through the Seattle Public Schools and districts all over the state is supporting our Core Plus vocational education program for high school students. That started about 5 years ago through the industrial community coming to the state and local school districts with some ideas and documentation of what young people could learn that would qualify them either for employment or for post-secondary education and training in high-wage industrial sectors. It's now at 37 locations around the state. And one of the great milestones this summer was the Boeing Company hired 150 graduates straight out of high school, not as interns. These are full-time entry-level aircraft manufacturer positions. And that included a group of kids that went through our program at Rainier Beach High School.
We have some special industrial zones in the city where only certain businesses can operate, like marine and rail-related businesses only. That means other businesses can't locate there. Why should the government reward some businesses and not others that could provide even more jobs?
Oh, because of the social benefit that's provided tends to be much greater from industry. The jobs tend to pay better. The nature of the work is almost always full-time. So in that way, there's a huge social benefit to this that's unchanged from 20 years ago. There's a major financial reward because of the income that's generated. The purchasing power it generates for people, the business it creates then for the other businesses, the accountants, the engineers, the lawyers who all service these companies. You get a really good bang for the buck out of industry.
Well, what about the tech industry? It generates a lot of money that gets spent here. So why not just let the free market decide what businesses stay, what businesses go?
Well, there's cities in the United States that do that, and they tend to be pretty chaotic and don't get the kind of community benefit that we do achieve here in Seattle. So to use your tech example, and I'm not trying to pick on tech, but so should they be getting a rent break by going down into an industrial area when they could be here just as easily as there? Those industrial companies don't have that alternative. The Denny, the worker that you were describing, you need a place for him to go. Should he be competing with a tech company or a law firm for rent? I don't think so. I don't think we will maintain the same mix in our city if we just let it go that way.
So bottom line, what needs to be done to make sure good manufacturing jobs in Seattle stay 2016 and beyond?
Oh, I think they need to maintain the zoning. That strategy as a citywide approach is really, really important. They're in the process now of finishing our first ever freight master plan. I think that's really important to have some sort of rational approach to how are we going to get goods around. Really, when we calm down and look at it, we've done pretty well. Doesn't say it couldn't be better. A year from now, you're going to be doing a story real similar to the one that you just ran, you know, today. And but this will all continue and endure, and probably for the remainder of our lifetime, Seattle hopefully will have a very robust and healthy industrial base.
Dave Gehring is the executive director of the Manufacturing Industrial Council of Seattle. He told Bill Radke Seattle's small manufacturing is struggling in the face of new construction and rising rents.